Fine, but today we'll see how this goes. Today let's meet a less known Mefaresh who's let's say semi-traditional. Semi-traditional maybe is the right word. I don't know, but I don't know how much you know about him. But he is a important Mefaresh, and that is Shaddal. Anyone know Shaddal? Yeah, who's Shaddal?
Him,
very good, yeah.
No, I got it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so he's fascinating. Shaddal is fascinating. He happens to have a very nice comment at the beginning of Bereishis that I think is worth sharing. But who is Shaddal? He is Luzzatto. Shmuel David Luzzatto. He's a scholar. He's also a member of the Vision Daf Dan Yudentum, right? Which is like the early scholarly movement of academic Judaism about 200 years ago. He's from Italy. He's born in 1800, dies in 1865. Spends most of his life in Padua. He's a critical scholar. I mean, most of what he does is traditional, though he does do some Girsa work. On the Torah, so not 100% traditional, but he's fascinating. He has some fascinating students who we did talk about last year. We talked about, I think, pre-Pesach, we talked about Shaddal and his student Reggio on how many Makot there actually were. Was it 10? Was it 12? Are there triads and different things like that? He's very interesting. He's a little bit of academic, a little bit of philosophy. And his Perush is available on Al Hatera, on their, and I think either all of it or at least most of it is also available on Svaria. So in the last few years, I've seen more Shaddal than I had in the past. So that's a little bit about Shaddal. Okay, now he makes a fascinating point, though, I think, on the first Pasuk of the Torah. He notes that already, I guess in his time, so which is not so crazy. This is 200 years ago, so this actually makes sense. People started reading the Torah and trying to, and you know, people have written books about this, especially in the last not so many years, trying to figure out, okay, how can we work out the first pasuk or the first perek of Bereishit with science? Right, and then they start saying, so you have different approaches. You have the approach that is rejectionist and says, look, whatever the Torah says is literally true, and therefore everything you think you know from science is garbage. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's there to trick you. V'chulei. The world is exactly 5,781 years old, and that's it, and, you know, etc. Then there are those who go more metaphorical, or not metaphorical, who go, they try to in some way keep to the literal meaning, but they're loose in that, right? So people will say 6 days doesn't mean 6 days, it means six eras, right? Or something like that. And, you know, maybe this six eras, and maybe you can tie it into evolution, and I don't know, right? There's like a whole school who thinks that. I don't know, you mean, you know, whatever. So people try to do things like that. And then there are the people, you know, people as major as the Rambam, and to be fair, in this, I've made this point before, but both the philosophers and the Kabbalists for this matter really basically agree that the first few Prakim Bereishit should be read primarily metaphorically and, right, philosophically, and not even attempt to read it literally. I mean, maybe there are certain things that can tell you something about the Metziut, but that's not the point. That's not how the book is being written. So Shaddal takes that approach, but I think his introduction to Bereishit is fascinating. He writes as follows. He says, Yavino maskili, ki amechuvan batara ina hodara chochmora teviot. He said, the first point you've got to realize is that this problem begins if you think that the Torah is a history book or a science book, because therefore you're going to try either to read it literally or read it quasi literally. But the reason to believe that this is not literal at all and is philosophical and it's metaphorical is less about the scientific problems we might have with being, right, with figuring out the details, and more with the fundamental question of what do you think the Torah is? Right? He said, the reason people have problems is because they seem to have this notion that the Torah should be telling you science. So therefore, they got to figure out how is it doing that. But if that's not even your starting point, then the philosophical approach is the logical one. And he says, "V'lo nidna Torah," the purpose of the Torah being given was shir b'nei adam b'derech tzedakah u'mishpat, was to lead people in the proper way in the world, ulekayim b'li, right, to follow justice, ulekayim b'libam emunat yichud v'ashgacha, and to believe in God and God's providence. Meaning, the Torah is here to teach morality and proper theology. Ki lo lechachamim levadam nitna Torah lechol ha'am. And it's not just given to the wise people, it's given to everybody. Ukmo she'en hashgacha gmul, and rivetor b'derech philosophy, ala divretor b'lachashon b'nei adam. So the Torah doesn't talk in philosophical language, it talks in stories, it talks in ways that people can understand, the average person can understand. So therefore, skipping down, he says, okay, so the beginning of the Torah has philosophical messages to teach you, but it's not written in as a philosophical treatise. It's written as a narrative. He said, okay, so if that's the case, then he says, Ein ra'ui l'torah ni lotzi aktuvim mashmadam kidei lahaskimam im chochmana tevio. Don't try to read the psukim differently to figure out how it works with science, right? Don't say a day is an epic. Why are you being mevalbel et hamoach? Right? What are you confusing yourself to do that? He says, "Ein ra'ui l'chokher she'achisha Torah min hashamayim yatzi b'sipurei dvir l'tib maskim imachkar tivi." There's no reason to say, "Oh, the Torah isn't true because it's against natural science." So then, what is the point of this original story? So, in his first pasuk, he gives you the following theological claim. He said, "What is the fundamental, overarching message of the Bereishit stories?" Right, if you had to boil it down, right, what is the main messages you would get? Again, you could take different ones, but he has two that he wants to draw out from the Bereishit stories. What?
God's dominion over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And then if you continued, right, if we're talking about like the verse 2 prakim or so, verse 2, maybe even 3, so again, you could take different things. But again, we'll try to focus on some individual thinkers as we go along. So here's Shadal's claim, which I think is at least worth taking, and there's definitely a lot of truth to it, even if you can add things. He says, "Hine ratza Hashem lodil bnei adam achdur haolam v'achdur hamina enoshi." He wanted to teach you the united nature of the world and of humanity. Meaning what? Ki ataut b'shnei ima ela garma b'mei kedem ra'ot gdolot. The belief that the world was not unified by one creator led to horrible evils in the ancient time. Now, this is something you'll know about Shadal. Shadal, being the beginning of the academic scholar, is already thinking in ancient Near East comparative thing. And he said, look, polytheism and the belief that the world is created by warring gods, it wasn't just a theological problem. It is perhaps the key moral and theological problem of the ancient world. Ki mehader yidiat achdur olam nishach shu b'nei adam aminim mitziut Elohim pratiim balei chisaron mido gruot. Because what did the ancient world believe about the gods? That they were basically, yeah, right, they were basically very powerful, really bad people. And what did that lead to? Religions that were predicated on doing all types of horrible things, because that's what you believe the petty warring gods wanted, right? It wasn't just that, right? People actually had theological basis for some of the horrible things they did because, right, the fertility god wants us to sacrifice the firstborn child or a virgin or whatever they come up with, right? That's how she wants to be honored, right? And the war god is that, right? We stand for the war, right? For the god of war. They stand for the god, whatever, right? They stand for the rain god. So the first most important thing was to recognize that the world's created by one God, not petty warring factions, and therefore the notion that you should have that the proper theological approach to life was to satisfy a bunch of petty pagan deities isn't just wrong, it just is fundamentally against a proper understanding of the origin of the world. Right? And many people, many modern scholars, for talking like 50, you know, like some of the earlier ones, maybe 50, 70 years ago, like Umberto Casuto, or moderns, right? I've heard this from Barry Eichler. I've noted that if you want to understand the Chiddush of the Torah, read any origin story of the ancient Near East. And the first thing you'll notice is what isn't there, right? Is that Bereishit starts with the creation of the world. Most ancient Near East creation stories start with the creation of the gods. Right? The creation of the gods by head god, by whatever. Right? We don't have that, which already tells you that the nature of our theology is going to be very different because we're serving one creator who has no need to beat out the other gods in the pantheon. That's his first point. And his second point, and this is really, you know, later in the Perek and maybe Bereishit Bet, and really the biographical you know, sketches of Bereishit through Noach, is the second main lesson he draws is that all of people come from one person. Right? And he said, the notion that people don't believe that is the basis of racism and race wars. Right? Again, he's writing this in 1800. Right? But he's saying, and this is really the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says, why does everyone come from Adam? So no one will be able to say, my father is greater than yours. So what Shadal suggests in his first pasuk is that, and again, let's just draw out his right main claims, is that it's not just that it's wrong to try to detail day one with this scientific fact, not just because it's the Torah is not meant to be literal in that way, but because doing that, even if you can work it out, right, in some way, is missing the point. The point of the Torah is a moral, theological work. And if that's the case, then stories which teach philosophical or moral lessons are to be expected because they do a better job at teaching these lessons to a wider audience. And he said, if you had to boil down, again, there can be other lessons, but his two lessons, which both take into account a philosophical understanding of the Torah and at least a little bit of an understanding of the ancient Near East, is that the fundamental flaws that plagued humanity were, at the beginning, were one, a belief in a petty pantheon. So the first thing you have to understand is that the gods weren't created, but God created the world. And therefore, any theological approach which is predicated on the notion of warring, immoral, petty deities is fundamentally flawed. And you get that because the Torah starts with God creating the world rather than the creation of the gods. And the second is that, right at the beginning, you get this notion that all of humanity comes from one person, which is also not something that everyone believed in. And he thinks the moral lesson to be drawn from that is the fundamental humanity of all human beings, right? Which we take as a given, but is actually a chiddush of the Torah, right? Because if you think about the ancient Near East myths, that's not usually true. Like usually the nation that you are part of is descended from the gods, right? And everyone else is not descended from the gods. Or you're descended from the right god, and they're from the wrong god. Or, you know, you start as a uber, right, an ubermensch, right, or whatever, and they don't. Right? The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to not do that, which is teaching a fundamental moral lesson about the way the Torah views the nature of humanity. Okay, so that's Shadal's introductory comments, which, again, I think we can add to it, but I do think that his methodological approach and the two main insights that he draws from Bereishit are true. Right? They may not be the whole story, but I think they're true, and now at least we've met Shadal for today, and we'll see who else we meet. Okay?